Blog Talk Radio.
It is January 4th, and welcome to the show. Everyone who is taking a listen tonight, I appreciate it. Sorry for the little bit of the delay. I was actually on the line with one of my clients, an actress in Atlanta. Her name is Anna Height. I'll go ahead and give her a shout-out because I can do that. It's my show. She's actually an actress based out of Atlanta, but she is originally from New York, the Bronx. And if you want to find out more about her, go to my website, www.imtmworldwide.com, and click on Actresses, and you'll read about her. She's actually appeared in some programs that you have seen before, The Game, Buyer's Remorse. She's actually on the new show that Jermaine Dupri has on Lifetime, and she's also going to appear in the new film, Triple Nine, this February, so be looking out for her. I actually did a radio interview of her a couple of Mondays ago, actually, so you get to listen to that on the article as well. So check it out. Her name is Anna Height. You can also pull her up on Instagram under Anna, A-N-A, Anna Height, like how tall I am, Height. Anna Height on Instagram, and you can check her out. Tell her I sent you. Tonight, what are we talking about? Well, the title of my show, Will the Shakeup Help in the Postseason for the Hawks? Playoffs? Falcons not in. Very disappointing, of course, how the Falcons season ended, but I'm not going to start the show off on that tonight. The Atlanta Hawks, over the past couple of weeks, okay, really over the past couple of months, where do we stand? Okay, let me go ahead and read my show notes. No, the Atlanta Hawks were not going to win 60 games back-to-back. But they should still win 50, right? Does it seem like that will happen? There are stretches where the Hawks look dominant. Then New York happens Sunday. What happens from Tuesday when they came all the way back against Houston, where they flirt with looking like it doesn't matter if they win or lose from one game to another? Besides Kyle Korver's slump and teams figuring out that they have to lock them down, what else is hindering the team from being ultra-successful? Where, again, the East is up for grabs. Look at the East. The teams that were actually in the playoff hunt last year are not this year, and the ones that weren't are. So there's a lot of flux still, right? Are we giving up way too many losses for the sake of trial and error? Or does it matter at all, and as long as we get into the playoffs? It's much easier to get through rounds battling weaker teams than starting off with the most difficult team, unless you're ready to beat the Cavs, right? So right now, the Hawks stand to finish in the top three minimum, but the inconsistent play can easily have them in the bottom half of the eight playoff teams. As far as the Falcons finished the season at 8-8. Are you happy with that? What do you think will happen to the players that have crazy salaries but did virtually nothing to help the team this year? will be a player in free agency? What will happen in the draft? 2017 is right around the corner now. These are going to be some of the topics tonight. Tune in, listen in, call in. 646-652-4479 is the number. And as always, I have to remember to open up the chat room, which is famous for people typing crazy stuff in there. But I open it up just so you can type crazy stuff in there. Hopefully, we will not have a repeat of what happened last week. I actually had to talk to the radio people, and so I am prepared tonight to where anybody who chooses to use any disrespectful language, anything racist, anything disgusting, you'll be reported. I'll catch your number, and I'll send it to the proper authorities, and they'll track you down and do whatever they got to do for you to never do that again on the planet Earth. So that being said, let's go ahead and get the show started, but let me go ahead and do a little bit of groundskeeping here. And there we go. Hit that button. So let's talk Hawks basketball. So if you're a Hawks fan and you saw the game Tuesday night where the Houston Rockets were just killing them on the boards, they were, you know, Dwight Howard looked like he was Dwight Howard again, and Capella was doing all kind of crazy stuff, and, you know, they were playing. But then all of a sudden the Hawks woke up again, and they beat them. It was a great game, came down to the final few minutes or whatnot. Great comeback. It was a great win. Hawks looked really, 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 really good. But then to New York, it was almost as if, I mean, again, it's like, what? Okay, let me put you like this. One of the things that people really didn't pay no attention to, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, is how good the Hawks played defense last year consistently. They were one of the better teams in the NBA when it came to defense. They were number two in the league in defense next to who? The world champion, Golden State Warriors. That's how good they were. For stretches, the Hawks look like that. But for others, they don't. And there's just something that's constantly wrong. Now, yes, we do have some new players, but for the most part, we have everybody back from last year. Everybody. So it shouldn't be that much of a shakeup, and especially for the fact that for most of the season, certain players weren't even playing. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. wasn't playing. Edie wasn't playing. Mac wasn't playing. Holiday wasn't playing, really. So that's four players right there, not really in the rotation, right? Muscala has played sparingly at best. That's mostly because Mike Scott has been playing so much better, okay? But Mike Scott's been with the team. All the other players, okay. Seth was hurt the end of last year, but he's been with the team, of course. And then you got Baze. Now, their roles have kind of switched a little bit. Okay, Baze is starting now. But why is there such a lack of effort at the very beginning of the game to where they're getting down 15, 20 points every game, it seems like? Okay, what is that? Because that wasn't happening last year. It happened during the Larry Drew era, though, a lot, right? Y'all remember those days, hands folded, just walking up and down, never was going to call a timeout. Just 23 billion point run. you couldn't beg that man to get a timeout to stop the bleeding. But with Bud, that never really happened. Even the first year where they had all those injuries and they finished under 500 and they came on late, they were always in a game. Okay, they were just hurt, right? So Al Horford, you got Paul, Jeff, even with Kyle slumping, but you got Baze in there to offset that a lot, because Baze, like, he's like pure money now, right, from that three-point line. Don't leave him open. He's going to hit it now, right? What's going on? What is it? You know, now, I mentioned the trial and error as far as benching Dennis. I know why he's been benched, but at a certain point, got to let that go because it's hurting the team a little bit now. Okay, going back to that consistency. Edie getting minutes is great because he needed it. It was about time. And I actually had did a video the week before when, you know, it was announced that Tiago was going to miss some games and, you know, everything. He probably was going to get some playing time, and indeed he did, right? He's been very productive for the few minutes that he gets, right? So we're happy about that. Hopefully he continues to get more playing time going into the next couple of months. Hopefully he'll be on the playoff roster. Okay. 646-652-4479. So, again, what's wrong? Because there is something wrong. We don't want to admit it, and this is why I mentioned, is it going to be cool that the Hawks at least make it to 50 wins, hopefully, this year, and what will that get them in the conference? Because, again, right now, you know, we're third. Well, I don't know who lost today. Let's go ahead and pull that up. Because yesterday we were third. We were tied for third, technically, I think, with Toronto. I don't know if the Bulls won. I'm going to go ahead and do a scoreboard count in a second for everybody. But, again, how the East is right now, a game or two losing streak can put you go from 2 to 8th right now, right? So, all right, let's go ahead and do a scoreboard real quick since I got it pulled up. Today is the 4th. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with finals. If things will cooperate here. Cleveland destroyed Toronto, 122-100. I think Cleveland has only lost one game at home. Oh, my goodness. What's going on in Philadelphia? Philadelphia has won again. 109-99 against the Timberwolves, of all people. Wow, I need to check the box score on that one. Boston Celtics have won. They beat the Brooklyn Nets. Pistons beat Orlando. That's interesting right there because they've been going back and forth as far as where they stand in the division. The Miami Heat is in overtime, 2 points over the Pacers right now. San Antonio destroyed the Milwaukee Bucks. And Sacramento beat OKC. That Rajon Rondo Boogie combination, I think, they could do something out there if they get a chance to get in the playoffs. Right now, still playing the Jazz against Houston, 10 points up on them. Just kind of getting started, Portland and Memphis and Golden State and the Charlotte Hornets. So let's go to standings. Again, 646-652-4479 is the number. So right now, to this very moment, Cleveland's 23-9, first place. Chicago now is 20-12, so they are in second. 3 games behind. Miami Heat now are 20-13, so they're 3.5 games behind. Tied with the Hawks, who are 21-14 because of that stupid loss in New York. Toronto is behind them at 21-15. Indiana, Boston, and Detroit round out the rest of it. Orlando is right behind Detroit. That's why I said that's interesting. And Charlotte is still giving it a go. Right now, I think Washington is not going to make it. Milwaukee is pretty much done. Brooklyn, of course, and, of course, Philadelphia, although they've won again. I think there's a chance that New York could maybe overtake Detroit, depending on how that goes. I think New York actually has a decent team, especially true, if Aaron Follow shoots like that the rest of the stupid year. And, of course, the Latvian Dirk, Porzingis, the Zinger. I think they actually can finish 500. I think they can get the A spot. That's just me. I actually like their team. We'll see what happens though. But right now the Hawks are in fourth. Can they hold that? Can they vary from 2 to 3 if Cleveland indeed is going to keep that number one spot all year? I don't think they can, but we'll see. But like I said, right now they're 12-8 in the conference. They're 5-1 in the division, which is good. So far, they haven't played a lot of division games yet. They're 12-6 at home. They're 9-8 on the road. Now, there's only two other teams that have more wins on the road than the Hawks. And that's Toronto and Boston. So that's pretty good. They play well on the road, although they lost in New York, right? At home, they haven't been great. Last year, of course, I think they only lost 6 games last year, I believe, off the top of my head. So they've already lost more games at home this year than they did last year. Don't like that much. They're 12-8 in the conference, which isn't bad, but could have been, should have been better. Again, we just got beat by the Knicks. So, again, though, where do we really stand in regards to last year to this year? Is it such a drastic difference that teams are just stopping Kyle? Now, yes, he was an integral part of the offense, and depending on, you know, who's guarding him or whatnot, teams are looking at him, moving around, and it opens up other people. Now, what has changed is, of course, he's not hitting as many shots as he was last year, of course. His percentage is not as high as it up there as it used to be. But what about the other players around him? Because it's not just Kyle Korver on the court. It's four other players, right? So what else is happening? Now, right now, Paul, of course, is the MVP of the team right now. He's balling out of control, dominating. Al has his moments. Jeff, I'll come back to Jeff. Bayes is going to probably win most improved player. I mean, he has a pure shot now. Like, I never thought I would say that, but he does. And he drives to the basket, and he plays defense, so that's great. But back to Teague, again, it always comes back down to, how consistent is he? How consistent will he be? And, again, he's out there playing someone who's 10 years older than him and, for whatever reason, just refuses to take him off the dribble every time. I mean, I don't care if you miss every layup, Why can't he just do that? I just want him to do that. I just want to see him do it one whole season. Because technically, other than Tony Parker in his heyday, okay, and a few others, there's not too many who is faster than Jeff Teague off the first step. So, again, from the other night where it looked like Bud must have got into him a little bit about doing it, then all of a sudden bombs out in New York when we know he needed it because we couldn't. So for some reason, nobody wanted to stick Aaron to follow. It wasn't going to be Korver. Why couldn't Bayes switch over to him? Why couldn't you put Seth in? Why couldn't you put Patterson in on him, or at least somebody? Why couldn't you elbow him in the face or something? You just don't let a man shoot 23s. You don't let him do it. They were letting him do it. He was wide open almost every shot, like literally. And that's another thing I don't understand. It's like last year we didn't have this much of an issue playing off of either pick and rolls and or just simply swinging the ball from left to right, and people are just wide open. And sometimes it's off of double teams, but doggone, the Knicks didn't have nobody to double team except for Melo, and Melo wasn't even doing nothing. So why double him? Again, let him shoot 25 shots. But if you let him pass the ball, Knicks are dangerous all of a sudden. Anybody ever noticed that before? 646-652-4479. So what are your thoughts? What are your opinions? I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. I'm going to, what am I going to do first thing tonight? Oh, FYI, if you are in music, I am looking for some bumper music, preferably some R&B type stuff, jazz, maybe even a little rock and roll. Lyrics have to be clean. You can email Chris at imtmworldwide.com with submissions. Let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and just play a little something for myself, actually, because I usually don't even play this till the end. I'm going to do it early because it's only going to be an hour show tonight. So this is a song called Competition. This is Chris, IMT, and Worldwide Radio. Be right back.
Hello?
Chris, where are you at?
I'm in a bed asleep. Why?
Chris, you're supposed to be at the studio. Flick is looking for you.
What time is it?
5 o'clock.
Oh, man.
Chris, you have to do better than this. Don't you know all this competition that's out here? It's all about the competition.
As you can see, I'm not at home being lazy and idle. Instead, I'm writing rhymes. You are hearing poet recitals, creating thoughts in your mind. Remind you of Bible, 10 commandments, 10 plagues, even Samson Delilah. Besides that, establishing myself in this game. Not concerned about the chips, whips, tricks, or the fame. But if it comes, so be it. You won't hear me complain. Just as long as you don't ever, ever forget my name. INTELLEGT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I had the microphone in my hand for the 96. Now my calendar is full. On the regular hectic, you better believe I feel the need to prove myself. You got to beat me above nobody else. I place myself But if it gets down to it, I will be the lighter, and you can be the fluid. He's on fire. I'm in the game like EA. Won't be bowing down as if I was your sensei to anyone. That's the answer to the question. Will he be like everyone else? I won't keep you guessing. To be unique, that's the essence of my mission. That is why it's all about the competition. Competition, 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 you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Gun in my hand, finger on the trigger. Looking you dead in the eye, courage getting bigger. Looking at you sweat, you thinking will he do it? Mirror, mirror on the wall, can I let me prove it? Whoa, let me step back, that sounded kind of violent. That's not the type I am. Some may call me silent, even quiet. But definitely not Wyatt. Earth, this ain't the Wild Wild West. Not if I was Captain Kirk. It's the remix, part two of competition. Microphone, my weapon of choice. Please don't get it twisted if you miss it. Turn on the television. To end the 1079, get the agency late edition. Forgotten my name, let me tell you how it's spelled. INTEWEZT. Hit me on my email. Yeah. ATL is where I dwell. Don't be forgetting that when it's time for records to sell. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing.
INTEWEZT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I have the microphone in my hand right now. It is time for me to show you how I get down. Been a long time coming, much anticipated. 10 years in the making, very complicated. For all of you who are listening to this particular track, out of live radio MP3, play it back. In regards to my intro, if you ask who this be, 1994 grad Kendrick Cherokee. If you need more specifics, then wait until it's over. Better yet, buy it, read the album cover. Either way, I believe you will be satisfied with what I say. My lyrics different, this I cannot lie. I have the opportunity to get into this game. Now press rewind a couple of times so you don't forget my name. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing.
TN Worldwide Radio. We are back. That was a little song called Competition that I wrote some years ago in the studio, Fort Myers, Florida, way back in the day. Shout out to Microphone Junkies and the gang down there in Fort Myers. So let's get back on topic. And oh, as a reminder again, just to let people know, if you call in and anything racist or disgusting or anything along those lines come up, your number will be listed and you will be sent to the authorities. I take racism, disrespect, all that kind of good stuff, lewd comments, stuff like that, real serious on my show because I don't allow that type of content. Yeah, you're going to be, you know, looked at. So, if you call in, just know that you, unfortunately, that's what it is. I have to announce that. I will announce it because it's my show. I don't let nobody do that. It doesn't make any sense. So just letting people know so they won't say that they didn't know when they get that phone call from the police department. They can't say they weren't warned. 646-652-4479 is the number. Let me check the chat room real quick. And all righty, let me do a little promo right here real quick. So we're talking Atlanta Hawks basketball currently, and as I say that, let me go ahead and check scores real quick, see who might be losing a game in the division, hopefully, or the conference at worst. Let's see how that Miami game went down. It's still in overtime? What's going on there? Let's see. It's not double overtime. Miami is playing the – okay, it's final. So Miami has beaten the Pacers. So let's see how the standings look now. Miami has been coming on a little bit. They've won three in a row, right? So that drops Indiana to six now, 19-15. So, see, again, these losses, the conference is so close, a loss here or there drops you, you know. But at the end of the day, everybody right now is like, there's two teams three games behind, one team three and a half, one team four games, and then everybody else is five or more. That's not a lot. It's just January 4th. However, again, a win streak of any real magnitude could put a team out. Ask people in the Western Conference, right? So Cleveland has a four-game winning streak. Chicago Bulls have a four-game winning streak currently. Miami Heat now have a three-game win streak. Atlanta plays the New York Knicks tomorrow night. So can the Hawks beat the Knicks? You know, Melo didn't really do anything the other night. You know, is he going to act like he want to play? You know? And if he does, who's going to stop him? Because in that particular lineup, he's playing small forward a lot. So, again, and actually that kind of was a question of mine even the other night. Some of the matchups, I didn't really get it. I thought maybe Al would have been, I guess it worked out to an extent, but really I don't think they took it pure advantage. Over having Edie playing minutes, because in that particular case, especially with Lopez hitting baby hook shots all over the place, you know, I'm just saying. But one good thing about Edie that night is him blocking Porzingis. That was awesome to see that, because, again, you got to have somebody who wants to block shots. You have to have somebody who wants to get rebounds, and that man wants to do it. It's been a long time since we have somebody who wants to do it all the time, not just some of the time, not half the time, but all the time. Now, again, one of the stats, the Atlanta Hawks organization over 30 years have only drafted seven centers, and only a couple of them have actually been on the Hawks court. One of them is Al Horford. One of them is John Contract. And one of them is Edie. Not a great history when it comes to centers, folks. And believe it or not, at the end of the day, centers do count in the league over a period of time. And many of the teams that have won championships over the years had a dominant center of some sort, or a center that at least contributed. And for the Hawks to not ever have that, hey, guess what? Hawks have not won an NBA championship since St. Louis. 646-652-4479. What do the Hawks have to do over the next quarter of a season to get themselves where the confidence overall is there, you know, because right now the playoffs are no guarantee right now, just being real about it. I mean, as weak as the East is, and again, three games, you know, is not a lot, you know, but shoot, what if Cleveland continues to win? Right now, if the Hawks continue to win and Cleveland continues to win, they're not going to catch up, right? By default. So, you got head-to-head matchups. What happened to the first head-to-head matchup with the Hawks and Cleveland? Got blown out, got embarrassed, right? Okay, so can the Hawks return the favor? We'll see. Do they got the team to do it? Maybe. Okay, so what's going to happen with these rotations? I saw a portion of something that basically said that Coach Bud had the guys playing 4-on-4, the younger guys, you know, and one team beat the other team. Maybe is that going to play into rotations? Are we going to see, you know, THJ and Edie, you know, on the floor and along with Dennis a whole lot? Maybe. That would be awesome coming off the bench seeing them. I think Holiday was on that team too. Okay, maybe. Or will the other team come out there and get minutes, Mac and Muscala and some of the others? Muscala hasn't played in a while, right? And then you still got Tiago, who's hurt. I don't know if he's playing tomorrow night or not. I think not. Okay. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, when he does get healthy, is he going to play at all? Now, you know how that works sometimes, right? Player is injured. You got the other player come in and take his place. All of a sudden, why are we going to put Tiago back in there? We'll see if that happens or not. But it's a good problem to have, and that's one thing that was apparent last year about our bench is that we were deep. This year, I'm not attributing a lot of the inconsistency to the bench, but we have had our moments, of course. But it's getting better, all right? But my, you know, again, my quorum is the bench don't got nothing to do with starting the game. The first 12 minutes of the game is the starters. And for, again, whether – I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's – I don't know why you don't play defense in the first quarter. Hitting shots is one thing, but just not either getting back or you got people hitting wide-open jumpers, that's inexcusable. Okay? I can prove it to you. Last night – today is Monday, right? Last night, my brother and I were on the same team for a while. We were winning games and stuff. But we made it hard on ourselves because we would not get back on defense. We had a player who was, I don't know what you would call, I'm not going to try to describe him as far as what kind of player, but he takes some wild shots sometimes. And let's just put it like this, sometimes he'll do a Kobe and go 4-on-1 on a 4-1 break, won't pass the ball, shoot, and miss. That's kind of discouraging. He does it all the time, right? But he did hit some big shots at the end, but the point is, when he does that, it's deflating, and we don't get back. And my brother's on the other end. He done got back, but now he's trying to guard a 3-on-1 fast. You see what I'm saying? You can't be doing that in the NBA like that all the time, though. Now, the other thing is, again, coming off of screens, pick and rolls, and double teams, how people are just completely wide open. Like wide open for a follow is a good shooter, but up till then he was in a slump. So for him to get out of his slump against the Hawks was just inexcusable to me. 38 points, he literally did single-handedly beat the Hawks because you take half of his points away, Hawks are in the game, right? So what is it? I mean, is it a matter of not stressing defensive rotation? Is it a matter of I don't know. I don't want to use that word intensity because how can you not be intense all the time? I mean, again, you know, we can point towards certain players, but we know one thing. Paul is playing all night, right? Baze is playing all night. So that's two starters. Kyle's been in a slump, so he's negated. Okay, so who's left? That's Jeff Teague and Al Horford. Now, my man Al, he's been balling every now and again, but still the consistency there for him is, okay, does he sacrifice the threes for being in the post, or does he go ahead and take that 15-footer and just hit that all night long? I still would rather him hit that 15-footer. You know the Stinger talks about that all the time, right? 6-4-6, 6-5-2, 4-4-7-9. Now, when he is hitting it, it's great, but my problem is with Al sometimes is when he's not hitting it, he keeps going. I'll use another example. Last night, I could not hit for whatever reason. I couldn't. Now, I will say that I did burn my thumb earlier that day, so I will say that could have had something to do with it. But I could not hit a jumper for nothing yesterday. So eventually I stopped. And because I can play the post, I can play the outside and the post. So I said, okay. And usually I do it anyway, but last night I did it a lot more than even usual. And to the point where one of the other players on my team was like, okay, we're going to run everything through Chris. So at that point, that pretty much obligated me to play in the post, right? Now for me, if you cut, I'll get you the ball wide open jumper every doggone time if you cut. Okay, so that's what I did all night, and we won all of our games because of that primarily. And then finally, I finally got my shooting touch back, and I was finally decided to hit some jumpers again or shoot some jumpers again. I actually had a turnaround jumper for a win, the first game of our win streak. But it's a matter of you can't keep hurting your team if you're literally, you know when you're not hitting. See, again, this is basketball. Don't matter if it's NBA or college or whatever. Basketball is basketball is basketball. You know when you ain't hit, and you know when you don't got it. And you got to be able to be prepared to contribute in other ways. That's why like a player like Dwight Howard gets on my nerves. Okay, you ain't going to hit no free throws. There's no reason to never not have 15 rebounds every night. Sorry. He big and strong like that. Come on now. And he be getting 7 rebounds a night now. Come on, he's 30. He ain't old. What's wrong? He ain't hurt. He ain't saying he is. And even if he was, it wouldn't matter to me. Okay? But he should be hitting his free throws too. Sorry, Joker. Anyway, 646-652-4479 is the number. But back to Al. At the end of the day, if he could just kind of curb the threes. Now, I will say this, of course, because everybody would be like, well, we won the Houston game because of those threes. Yeah, that's true. But, again, and it's like it's almost like an offsetting of Kyle Korver, you know, even with Bayes to an extent. But we shouldn't have to depend on that, okay? So who do we turn to kind of keep up with Korver as far as those threes? Now, me, again, I say go ahead and start Seth and put Kyle on the bench. That way there's a lot less pressure on him. It's the second-tier player that's playing defense on him, not the first-tier player. When timeouts are called and whatnot and you're bringing in subs and whatnot, I think that will loosen him up. I think that he could still get 12 points off the bench like that. He was coming off the bench before he came to Atlanta anyway. Okay, scenario for us. It keeps the bench points up there, okay? And I think it benefits the team all the way around. Now, the other problem with that is who comes to replace Seth, okay? Right now, you got Mike Scott, who I think probably would have to be that person, unless you're still kind of, you know, so you want to put him in rotation on the power forward end of things. Or it has to be either Holiday or THJ, Tim Hardaway Jr. Now, of course, we know Tim Hardaway Jr. has not played like 1 second in the NBA for the Atlanta Hawks this year, literally. Holiday kind of has, but not really. Okay, so which of those two would get the most minutes? Now, when Holiday actually did get some viable time, he actually played well, right? But that was months ago now, literally. So we still have to see what THJ does to see if he gets bear the brunt of some of those minutes if they were to make a switch off the bench. The other drastic thing would be to put one of those two guys in Kyle's spot, keep Seth at the three, and replace Kyle completely at the two, and then still have Seth off the bench. Now, that is an idea as well, but then that means you're relying on Holiday or THJ to produce what Kyle wasn't. And are we ready for that? I don't know. But it definitely will keep some energy on that front, on the front, right, at first quarter, because that's the quarter right now. I mean, we can't keep getting down by 15 and having to come back all the time. It's senseless to me. 646-652-4479. I'm going to take another break. I'm going to be right back. Remember, I am looking for some new music, some bumper music. But in the meantime, I'm going to play something from my man Chris Pritham. He's a producer over at Ill It Records. Check him out, ill-it.com, Ill It Records. This track is called Emperors. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. everyone. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are back. Just trying to check something here. Wow, these rappers, boy, I tell you, they it's just not worth it. I don't see it. I just don't understand it. They just keep putting themselves in situations for no reason at all. Doesn't make any kind of sense. Anyway, some of you might know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to bring it up on this show. 646-652-4479 is the number. We are talking Hawks basketball, but hey, I did also mention something about the Falcons on my show notes, didn't I? So let's talk a little Falcons while I got a chance. The Falcons had won two games in a row, had beaten Jacksonville, and beaten a previously undefeated Carolina Panthers, right? And then go up against the New Orleans Saints, rivalry game, end of season, neither team's making the playoffs, but that game, of course, always is a big deal, especially since New Orleans had already beaten the Falcons earlier in the year. This is at home in Atlanta, okay? It's going to be the second to third game, final game in the Dome against the Saints, right, because of the new stadium. So they got two more games ever in the Georgia – or one more – no, this is the second to last game, actually, in the Georgia Dome to play on, right? Didn't leave the best taste in the mouth of how that game ended. Everybody knows what happened. Matt Ryan threw another pick. Game over, right? So what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons next year? Now, so far, you know, of course, there's a lot of teams that lost their coaches today. You know, this is Black Monday. You know, you knew it was coming. But it also doesn't exclude general managers and other people, right? So a lot of people are questioning whether or not Thomas Dimitroff is going to stay or is he going to be kicked out, okay? A lot of people are looking at the offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Now, me, of course, I've been saying since the start it's a mistake. The man has a history of messing up quarterbacks for a long period of time. Why is he here? What's going on? Okay. And, of course, draft picks and free agency and things of that nature. You know, again, we are a team that is perennial in zone defense because we can't put a rush on the quarterback. I mean, you got quarterbacks that are, like, literally making pancakes, eggs, grits, you know, and then throwing the ball. That's not cool anymore. You'd think it wouldn't be cool ever, but especially it's not cool now. Now, we do have a rookie, Vic Beasley, the first defensive end as a rookie to get four sacks in Falcons history. No, wait, in 30 years, I think they said. Or Falcons history. That's crazy. Four in his rookie season. First one. The only one. Just get mad thinking about it. But it's a start, I guess. As he learns more and stuff like that, maybe he'll have eight next year. But who else will have some? Because it ain't going to be – we were last again in sacks. We drafted a player specifically because of that, and we still bottomed out. So – what's going to happen there? Are we ever going to get a cornerback? Now, I had an argument with a whole bunch of people about Alford. He's a bum. He got to go. He played okay Sunday, but playing okay one day and then getting that one pick six a couple of weeks ago does not make a good quarterback make. No, he's a bum. He has lost us virtually in so many games because he can't cover nobody. Every time there's a big play, it's always on him, majority of the time. A lot of the time, okay? Our safeties actually played pretty decent, or some of the new guys or whatnot, I guess. But we need a defensive end on the other side, okay? Although Croy actually did okay this year, but he's not going to be the guy. He knows it. We need defensive tackles. We need some meat up there. We need some guys who can actually put a push. Now, our run defense has been great. We've tackled better. I think that's just plain old coaching. Okay. Our linebackers have played great, okay, for the most part, when they're healthy. You know how that goes with us, right? 646-652-4479. get a push. And when you can't get a push, that hinders everybody. Heck, if we could get a push, offer to be 20 times better, right? That's anybody, because they're not trying to stick somebody for 6 seconds. They're only sticking them for 2.5, 3 at the most, right? So if we could just, I would be satisfied if they just upgrade the defensive line, keep everybody else. We got some young players back there, okay? So that limits how much we have to either do on free agency or we got to risk in the draft. On the offensive side, of course, we got to finish the offensive line. The offensive line was doable this year, where at the beginning of the year, it was just a tremendous disaster from last year, although he threw for 4,000 yards last year, last I checked, right? But running the ball, passing the ball, it all counts, and it all counts from the offensive line. So we got to get that straight. So, again, are we going to go for the draft like we did with Matthews? Are we going to go free agency and piece it together again? Or is it just going to be ultra coaching? Okay, what is it going to be? Not sure. Now, skill positions. Running back, we're set. We're good, right? Wide receiver. Story about Roddy saying he wants to stay in Atlanta for life. Cool. Make it happen. He still signed technically one more year anyway. So would you sign him for 2017, okay, or would you restructure his contract somehow or another so that $6.5 million that he's owed the next couple of years? I think he's actually signed till 2017. So he'll make it to the new stadium if he, you know, doesn't get cut or whatnot. But I say lower his salary and then play him, like throw the ball to the man, even if he's third receiver. I mean, we got to have more than just two receivers anyway. So even if you upgrade Justin Hardy to the number two spot or you get another receiver somewhere, you still keep Roddy. He's still valuable. He can still get open. He could be the slot guy or whatever. He'll do it. He wants to play, he'll do it. But you got to throw him the ball. Too many times this year he was never throwing the ball, and we lost games, I think, because he was never given the opportunity to help move the chains, period. And, again, if that's in the offense being called, that's on the OC, right? Because he's not in the position to where he can be thrown the ball. Because he's been taken. I mean, it's just stupid to me. But that's a whole other story. The other position is tight end. Ever since, you know, Gonzalez has been gone, you know, again, from one season to another, we see the – now I will backtrack. Tammy is good. He's more than serviceable. Okay? But it's not enough. We need a legitimate tight end that can make a difference in a game every game. A lot of other teams have at least one person. You know, Carolina, of course, has Olsen. You know, Dallas has one. Oh, my goodness. I can't think of people right now. Shoot, New Orleans Saints has one, for crying out loud. Why can't we have one? Just on that end of the spectrum. You see what I'm saying? Of course, New England has there. Cincinnati got one of the best in the game. You know, why can't we have a good tight end? I don't understand it. Of course, the kicking game now comes into question. Are we going to keep Matt Bryant, you know, or are we going to keep Shane Graham? Can't keep both, right? Matt Bryant makes $3 million a year. Shane Graham did pretty good for like $200,000. So I'm just saying, all right? So that's another thing to think about. So a lot to think about, but at the end of the day, yes, the Falcons did improve upon last year. They did finish at 500, not under 500, so that's a good thing. And we have a rookie coach. You know, there's some stuff there. You know, he has to play through. But I'm just looking at the basics. We got to do better on the defensive side as far as the push. Okay? We got to get us a cornerback. Got to do that. And I think we'll be fine. I think we have a legitimate team. I mean, this year did show that we definitely will be better, and that the change at the head coaching position was more than needed. Because if we had went through another year of Smith, oh my goodness, I don't even know what they said. The reason we are 8-8 is primarily because of the defense. The defense didn't lose us this season this year; it was the offense, and that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, what happened this year? If we had had last year's offense with this year's defense, we might have went undefeated. With our schedule, we would have beat Carolina the first time, or at least would have been competitive. We wouldn't got shut freaking out, right? Just for the fact that how we beat Carolina the second time, You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, we might have lost two games at the most. That's what we were pacing. We started off 5-0 with the rest of the schedule, how it was. Think about that. San Francisco, Minnesota, we should have beat them too. That's why I was mad. I wasn't really mad at the losses. It was just how we were losing to the teams that we were losing to at the time. Indianapolis, for crying out loud. Like, seriously. So, again, but hey, guess what? We did beat one playoff team. Houston Texans made the playoffs, right? So, again, I'm looking forward to next year. Then I'm looking forward to 2017 Mercedes-Benz. It's going to be a real nice place. We're going to have the largest scoreboard in the world, apparently, again. It's going to be really cool. So definitely everybody, you know, check them out. But just want to see the Falcons, you know, do their best with the best. And I want them to have all the opportunities. And, again, over decades, it just seems like somehow or another things just keep missing. You know, we had Deion Sanders, couldn't take advantage of it. Like, seriously, you know what I'm saying? Even with Roddy, you know, again, how many playoff games have we been able to win over a period of time? You know what I'm saying? Having the good teams that we've had, but being good and being great, you got to get to that. And again, you know, Matt had the worst season I've ever seen a good quarterback have relative to what he was doing before. You know, I mean, we made it to 8-8. Could have been worse, I guess, you know. But I don't think he's going to have 16 interceptions again next year. I hope not. We can only hope. Because, yeah, there were some games lost because of that, of course, obviously. Good, maybe 3 or 4 games lost because of interceptions. We lost the game Sunday because of an interception, plain and simple. Without the interception, you know, we would at least had a chance to win, right? So, that being said, that's going to be my show for tonight. I'm going to cut off a little bit early. This is really more of a show where I wanted to kind of really kind of point everything towards the Hawks because, you know, everything has been going the way it's been going. And it's confusing to an extent. And just an opportunity to kind of, you know, get it out there on paper, so to speak, for people to, you know what's going on in this new year, you know, January 4th, 2016. I got to get used to saying that 2016, right? So before I go, again, shout out to Anna Height. Again, she was a guest on my show a few weeks ago, actually. And be looking out for an interview of inspirational speaker, author, and life coach Paige Fletcher. She's going to be having an event on January 16th in Delray Beach, Florida. It's called the Intimate Lunch and Learn. It's the first of her Design Your Life workshops of 2016. So if you're a woman who wants help setting and achieving goals, this is the event you should be at. So if you live in Florida, anywhere in Florida, you need to go to this website, www.thegoalgroupinc.com. And go to the events page, and you'll see the flyer. You'll see all the ticket information. College students, by the way, you get a big discount. But you need to be there. Paige has appeared on Dr. Phil. She is a strong personality in regards to wanting women to do their utmost to achieve what they want to as far as their dreams and things that they want to do for the future, especially if you have kids, right? So check that out if you get a chance. Make sure, of course, you visit my website, www.imtmworldwide.com. Anybody who needs help, consultation, development on the entertainment side of things, go to that site for help. But also visit my business page, www.innovativeenterprises.com. That's one E in the middle of that. And anybody who's trying to start their own business for the first time or they need help with their current business, you can go there. You can call the business line, 305-204-1826. You can email me at chris@imtmworldwide.com. Again, that's going to do it for me tonight. The Atlanta Hawks is early, but I just want to see a little bit more, you know, of what we had last year just to make me feel comfortable about things. The Falcons season is over. I believe we have the 17th pick. We'll see what we get with that. Let's see what changes are made in the front office over the next couple of weeks. We'll see. But next year is next year. It's always next year, right? Super Bowl or bust. So All right, y'all. Well, that's tonight's show. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care.